In Japan, workers are risking their lives to cool damaged nuclear plants while rising radiation levels have already forced thousands of Japanese civilians to leave their homes. And here in Canada, these events are raising questions about nuclear power. And to help us weigh the pros and cons of this issue, we've asked three experts to join us to discuss these problems and these questions. In the studio here in Montreal, we have panelist Dominic Ryan. He's a physics professor at McGill University in Montreal, and he's also the president of the Canadian Institute for Neutron Scattering. And on the line, we have Gordon Edwards, who is the president of the Canadian Coalition for Nuclear Responsibility. And also joining us on the line from London, England, is Dr. Mary Gospodarevich. She's the medical director of the cancer program at Princess Margaret Hospital of the University Health Network. And she's also the head of radiation oncology at the University of Toronto. Welcome, everyone.
Thank you.
Yes, I'm going to start first with Dr. Gordon Edwards. If we base ourselves on what we're seeing in Japan, there are risks, obvious risks, to using nuclear energy. How do you feel, Gordon Edwards, about those risks?
Well, I wish that the industry had been more forthcoming when they first presented the technology. Unfortunately, I think it's always been misrepresented. It's been represented to people as a safe, inherently safe, inherently clean and abundant and reliable technology. And I think that's more of a salesman's pitch, but people have misunderstood those things as if they were supposed to be scientific facts. So it comes as a great shock when people see these accidents and these catastrophic potentials, because they're quite sure that they were led to believe that this was absolutely impossible in practical terms, and this is the problem. The problem is one of fundamental dishonesty. I think that we have a technology which has been marketed under false pretenses, and it's really an immature technology because it hasn't really solved several fundamental problems. One of them is the potential for catastrophic reactor accidents, such as we see here. Another one is the proliferation of nuclear weapons capabilities, which is associated with the materials that go into the nuclear enterprise. Then there's the disposal of nuclear waste, which is still an unsolved problem despite many efforts to solve it. The need for constant government subsidies, because it doesn't seem to be able to stand on its own two feet economically. The chronic buildup of radioactive poisons in the environment, despite the fact that it's portrayed as a clean technology, it isn't. It gives off hundreds of trillions of becquerels of radioactive materials every year into the environment from every single nuclear reactor. And also the prospect of eventually having a plutonium economy. That's a plutonium fuel, which we're seeing now in reactor number 3 in Fukushima, the only reactor of the complex there that uses plutonium-based fuel. Is the one in number 3, but that's really a future prospect for all nuclear reactors, and it's a very troubling one.
So you've raised...
I feel that the whole nuclear enterprise is premature, immature, and not marketed honestly.
Okay, so you've raised many important points. I would like to discuss some of those with Dominic Ryan. Mr. Edwards talked about many important things such as reactor problems, weapons, waste, money. What is your sense of the risks involved with using this energy and all those points raised by Mr. Edwards?
Well, I can't take them in order because I didn't actually take any notes, but I mean, to suggest that this has been mis-selled is grossly inaccurate. These reactors, we have hundreds of reactors operating around the world without any problems. They have been generating electricity without greenhouse gas emissions. The pollution issue is one of those red herring things. I mean, it gets trotted out. But the waste fuel is maintained. It's kept on site. So it doesn't get dumped overboard. And one of the things that makes this different from every other power generating capability using fossil fuels and so on is everybody else gets to dump their stuff into the air, into the water. They just throw it away because it's ash and it's smoke and nobody cares about it. The nuclear industry is forced to look after and maintain their stockpile of spent fuel. So it's all in one place. It's a small amount and it's all maintained. The plutonium economy, which is being sold now as bad, is the only rational way to go with nuclear power because if you use the uranium once, you're using less than half of 1% of the available energy in the fuel, and then you throw it away. This makes no sense. If you reprocess the fuel and recover the plutonium, you can rerun it through the reactors, as they're doing in Japan, and then you can use 50 or 100 times as much energy from the same fuel by reprocessing and reusing it. Yes, there are proliferation issues because somebody would like to divert this plutonium to make bombs. But nobody says we shouldn't refine gasoline because gasoline is used to power tanks. But somehow you can't refine plutonium and use it to power nuclear reactors. This is not a reasonable approach.
Well, what do you answer to the fact that Japan is having these major problems now, and these reactors could present a major danger, health danger, to the population?
This is a bad situation. There's no question. But those reactors survived a 9 earthquake, a huge earthquake, way beyond any engineering design they were required to sustain. The tsunami overwhelmed them, and there's clearly some lessons to be learned about the way you design and lay out the backup systems for these reactors. It's not a problem we could have in Canada because we don't have any reactors near a tsunami site, and we don't have any major earthquake sites either. So we're in better shape from that standpoint. But clearly, something better could have been done. In hindsight, we will learn from this. Nobody stops flying in airplanes just because a 747 goes down. We learn from the accident. We learn how to deal with it better. And there is no activity that we engage in today that is without risk. So to talk about the dangers and impacts of this accident and then forget to include the thousands of people who die every year mining coal for coal-fired power stations is dishonest. You have to look at the bigger picture.
Let's talk to Dr. Mary Gospodarevich. You were the head of radiation oncology at the University of Toronto. You've heard these two different views. What do you feel about the risks that are involved when we use nuclear power?
Well, I think radiation is a dangerous commodity, and we know that. But we know it's very useful. About half of the patients with cancer are treated with radiation therapy. And the radiation therapy contributes to the cure of cancers in millions of people worldwide. So, and radiation is also, radioisotopes are used for cancer diagnosis. So I think to get rid of radiation would not be a good thing for humanity. But one has to be very respectful that when radiation is like playing with fire. Fire is very dangerous. It burns. It can burn the whole cities, the whole people. People can get burned. We don't suggest ever that we get rid of fire. We have learned over the centuries how to use it, how to control it, how to make it safe. We use combustion engines in the cars. We use it all the time, and we have learned how to use it wisely. The nuclear industry is a much younger industry. Radiation has only been around for slightly over 100 years. And it certainly requires a lot of respect and a lot of regulation and a lot of attention to quality. The previous speaker mentioned that you don't stop flying an airplane when 747 goes down. And I agree. We learn, unfortunately, most of what we learn is we learn from accidents and incidents. We've learned all about the effects of radiation on humans from Hiroshima and Nagasaki. We learned about how to deal with quality from incidents and accidents. And I think that this situation in Japan will be a wake-up call to the industry everywhere and will result in increased safety of this industry because the changes will be made to make the nuclear reactors and the whole radiation industry much, much safer.
Gordon Edwards, I'm curious to know what you think, having heard what Dr. Gospodarevich had to say, and of course also Mr. Ryan.
Well, I think if the facts of nuclear power had been laid out honestly at the very beginning and the technology had not been presented as virtually problem-free, people would have been much more careful in going into it. Even today, we're being told here in Canada that meltdowns cannot happen in Canada because of the situation here, which is an absolute lie. The Royal Commission on Electric Power Planning in Ontario published a report in 1978. That was 1 year before the Three Mile Island accident, And they said that based on 3 years of cross-examination of experts and accumulation of evidence, they said that if 100 reactors were operating in Canada, under the worst assumptions, we could expect a nuclear meltdown once every 40 years. And this would not be because of tsunamis or earthquakes, but simply because of having a bad day where the electrical supply doesn't work, where the backup systems don't work, where the emergency cooling doesn't work, where a pump breaks. In other words, we're talking just about accidents. Now, add to that the situation where we want to sell these reactors around the world. What happens if you're in a war zone? In a war zone, the situation that was brought about by the earthquake and the tsunami could be brought about by malice, by bombing, by shooting, by poison gas. So the problem with these nuclear reactors is fundamental, and that is you cannot shut them off and walk away from them. You have to keep them pumped. You have to keep them cold for days and weeks after the original shutoff of the power. That can't always be done under emergency situations. Most machines, you can shut them off and they're safe. For example, X-ray machines, you turn them off, they're perfectly safe. There's no waste. There's no backup. Comparing this to with the problem of producing radioisotopes, we know how to produce radioisotopes other ways, using linear accelerators, using cyclotrons, and we can learn how to do it better. We don't need nuclear power for that. The problem with nuclear power is that once you start the chain reaction going and you run the reactor for a year or so, even for a few months, it's no longer possible to turn it off safely. You have to pump it and keep that core cool, or it will spontaneously melt down at a temperature of thousands of degrees Fahrenheit.
Okay, would you like to comment on that quickly, Mr. Ryan?
Certainly. Couple of things. I fully agree. One feature of a nuclear reactor is that you truly cannot just switch them off and walk away once they're running, and that's known. One of the things I think that's maybe getting lost in this is that there are no real surprises in this. There are no unknown unknowns in this.
To the public, there are. They've never been told that you can't shut off a nuclear reactor and walk away from it.
I've never said – I don't know what they've been told. I can't speak to that. So let's stay with what we are saying here.
So just go on, Mr. Ryan, please.
I agree. You cannot shut them down and walk away. That's certainly true, and that is why you design them to have both active and passive systems in there. Remember, you're looking at a 1970 design there that is giving these problems. As we develop new designs and we learn more about them, more and more passive designs, cooling systems get put in. The CANDU system has a convective cooling system in there that will cool the fuel in the event of a complete pump failure. I didn't say that you could have a meltdown. If you pull enough things out of a reactor and shut it down hard enough, I have no doubt that you can make any reactor melt. And the trick is to design them so this is not likely to happen. Medical isotopes are an issue that came up in the last couple of years when NIU went down. And one of the things that is important to remember is, yes, you can make some isotopes with the cyclotrons, but no, there are a large number of neutron-rich isotopes that are used every day that can only be made by neutron irradiation and therefore must come from a nuclear reactor.
I'd like to talk about isotopes with Dr. Gospodarovich. You mentioned the usefulness of nuclear materials for treating patients with cancer. What about alternatives?
There are many forms, as was mentioned, of producing radiation, but I think the fundamental issue in this whole debate in Japan is that I think it's unlikely that this technology will go away. And I think there's a certain danger in debating as the only option for the whole industry to go away. I think there should be more calls for improved regulatory mechanisms and improved safety of the operations, because I think since we can probably assume that the industry will continue, we would all like to have further research and further regulation and further ways of improving the safety, just like we've improved over the years safety of all the industries that are used.
Okay, I would just like to remind our listeners that today on The Link we are talking about the pros and cons of nuclear power, and that on our panel we have Dominic Ryle here with me in the studio. He's physics professor at McGill University, also the president of the Canadian Institute for Neutron Scattering. And on the line we have Gordon Edwards, president of the Canadian Coalition for Nuclear Responsibility, and also on the line Dr. Mary Gospodarovich, who is medical director of the cancer program at Princess Margaret Hospital. of the University Health Network and also head of radiation oncology at the University of Toronto. Now, we've talked about the pros and cons of nuclear power. I would like to talk about the alternatives to that. Let's start with you, Gordon Edwards. What do you think about these alternatives? If we speak about solar wind, geothermal power, even more traditional sources, natural gas, hydroelectric. How do you feel about those alternatives instead of nuclear power?
Well, those alternatives have the advantage of not running the risk of making large land areas uninhabitable for long periods of time, especially, we're building these nuclear reactors beside large population centers so that if you did have a true catastrophe, a total meltdown, uncontained, you're talking about wiping out huge land areas and making them uninhabitable for long periods of time. There aren't many technologies that have that capability. So alternatives, I think, first of all, getting back to the isotopes for a second, even if you were to stick with reactor-produced isotopes, there's only a small number of reactors in the world that produce the medical isotopes currently used. You can produce these isotopes in small reactors that are almost impossible to melt down. You don't have to have huge power-producing, electricity-producing nuclear reactors, which do have these risks associated with them. And I don't believe that we even need reactor-produced isotopes if we put our ingenuity to it. Here in Canada, for example, following the breakdown of the Chalk River NRU reactor, there were three different groups, one in Quebec, one in Saskatchewan, and one in British Columbia, which came up with alternative ways of producing molybdenum-99 and technetium-99m without requiring a reactor at all. So I think we have to put our ingenuity into these alternatives. And I believe that, unfortunately, the false promises of nuclear power, which cannot really be met, have detracted from the investment in things like energy efficiency, in things like renewable energy sources, solar and wind, geothermal, and so on. I think that this is the direction that we really should be going. That's where we should be putting our first priority. Just to give you one example of the potential here, when Germany decided to phase out nuclear power, and by the way, Germany has just now shut down 7 reactors on the basis of the Japanese experience, when Germany decided some time ago, about 10 years ago, to phase out nuclear power, they built 30,000 megawatts of wind in the intervening years. You couldn't build 30,000 megawatts of nuclear in 10 years. And yet we can do it with wind. So it's much faster to deploy some of these other technologies, and they are inherently much safer. Also, you can take down a windmill much easier than you can take down a nuclear reactor if you decide later on you don't want it.
Okay, I would just like to give Dominic Ryan some time to respond.
Sure.
Dominic Ryan,
absolutely.
Please.
I think that the statement that was made by the doctor, this technology isn't going to go away. There's no way we're going to wean ourselves off 400 or 500 power reactors. The world is becoming more and more energy hungry. We are going to need more and more power, and nuclear is going to be part of that mix, and I don't think it makes sense to say we just have to stop doing it. It's just not going to happen. I don't think that's reasonable. So we do need to work out ways to deal with it and manage it effectively, and we will learn from this Japanese incident. To say that no other technology can render large areas of land uninhabitable is not entirely correct, because if you look at any hydro development, especially Hydro-Québec's developments, they flood immense areas of land and render them completely uninhabitable. And there are significant hazards associated with living downstream of a power dam if it ever lets go. You think a tsunami is bad. A power dam letting go is a really big issue. And if you go to specifics like moly-99 production, that depends entirely on nuclear enrichment technology that's built for the nuclear industry. So you're using it twice. And as for wind, you've got to be very careful. It's good for the mix, but you can't rely on it entirely because it's unstable in the network. It's very difficult to manage.
Well, I'm sure Canadians have a lot to think about when we think about those nuclear power alternatives and about the nuclear power industry as well. I thank you three very much for this. Thank you for taking part in our panel today. Dr. Mary Gaspodarovich, thank you very much.
Thank you.
And Gordon Edwards, thank you so much.
My pleasure.
And Dominic Ryan, of course, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
And I've been speaking with Dominic Ryan, Gordon Edwards, and Dr. Mary Gaspodarovich. Dominic Ryan is a physics professor at McGill University in Montreal, the president of the Canadian Institute for Neutral Scattering, and Gordon Edwards is the president of the Canadian Coalition for Nuclear Responsibility. And I was also speaking with Dr. Mary Gaspodarovich. She's the medical director of the cancer program at Princess Margaret Hospital and also head of radiation oncology at the University of Toronto. Do you have any thoughts on this issue? Write to us. It's the link at rcinet.ca. We are waiting for your comments.